Hey, good morning. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Nun Zion. We left off on the bottom or towards the bottom of Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah. In today's daf, we are going to cover a couple of topics. First, in the Mishnah, we're going to see the last two shitos that we alluded to yesterday about Divrei Shchiv Meira and whether Divrei Shchiv Meira are Kichsuvin Echumasurin Dami all the time, or maybe if there are only Kichsuvin Echumasurin Dami on Shabbos. However, if a Shchiv Meira gives a gift during the week, then that gift would actually require a kinyan in order to be effective. Yesterday, we focused on the shita of Rebbe Lazar, who had said that Divrei Shchiv Meira always require a kinyan, that Divrei Shchiv Meira are not Kichsuv and Echumasurin Dami. And we had mentioned yesterday that there were three shitas. Today, we're going to cover the final two shitas, including the shita of Rabbi Yeshua, which is the shita that we had been assuming the whole time, frankly, over the past couple of weeks when we've been saying that Divrei Shchiv Meira are Kichsuvin Uchemesurin Dami. That's going to take us to the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph is going to launch into a discussion of a case where you have two people who died and pretty much simultaneously, and it's unclear who died first. And the transfer of assets, obviously, who is inheriting who, it depends on who dies first. We're going to see what happens when people lay contradictory claims to what happened. And the Gemara, basically, from the beginning of the Gemara here on Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, all the way over to Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, until the end of the daf, is going to talk about a rather complicated issue of whether one can be meshabed, whether one can encumber assets that he doesn't yet own at the time of a loan. Let's say if a person borrows money, then a person borrows money, he encumbers his assets to pay back the loan. The question is, can he encumber property that he does not yet own? Property that comes into his possession after the fact, is that also encumbered to repayment of the loan? The Gemara is going to go back and forth on that pretty much for the remainder of Amud Aleph and the entirety of Amud Beis. It's fairly complicated. Hopefully, we will be able to make some sense of it. Okay, so says the, again, starting from the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, B'Shabbos, that on Shabbos, if the Shchiv Meira gives a gift on Shabbos, Dvar of Kayamin, then the gift is effective. B'mnei she'ein yachal lichtav. Why? Because even though maybe he ordinarily agrees with Rabbi Lazar, who says that the Matna Shchiv Meira requires a kinyan, on Shabbos, you can't make a kinyan, you can't write a shtar. And therefore, on Shabbos, when there's no other option, we're going to permit the Matna Shchiv Meira to take effect, even verbally. Avolo b'chol, but not on the weekday. That's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yeshua Omer b'Shabbos Amru, that they said that the Matna Shchiv Meira can be kone with, the Matna Shchiv Meira is effective even with a verbal declaration. Kal v'chomer b'chol. Certainly, it's a kal v'chomer that it works during the week. Why? Because if you are able to be kone, if you're able to be kone a matna shchiv meira during a time where you can't make a kinyan, then certainly you should be able to be kone a matna shchiv meira verbally at a time when you do make a kinyan. In other words, what Rabbi Yeshua is saying is, Shabbos is a time where usually kinyanim aren't effective. Yet we figure out a way to make sure that the Shchiv Meira is able to give over his nechassim. So if we're going to make that accommodation even when kinyanim are not effective, kal v'chomer, we should make that accommodation when kinyanim are effective. That's the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. So in other words, Divrei Shchiv Meira are always kichsuv and chumasur and dami, according to Rabbi Yeshua. Kayotze bo, similarly, why is this kayotze bo? The Yad Ramah explains that Rabbi Eliezer here is also going to hold that a unique method of doing something only works when it's impossible to utilize the usual method of doing something, whereas Rabbi Yeshua holds that if the unique method works when the usual method is not possible, certainly the unique method is going to work when the usual method is possible, just like Ishita in our Mishnah. So Kayotze bo zochen lekatan, that you're able to do this concept, you're able to use this concept of zechia to a katan, where you could be mezakeh something to a katan. So you could be mezakeh something to a katan. The Rashbam explains that since the katan doesn't have a yad liskos liatzma momon shenosin lo tiknu chachamim sheyeh echad zoche umakabel etzarcho, that you could basically be mezakeh the katan something by giving money to somebody else, because the katan doesn't have a yad, a halachic yad to accept the item. So zachen the katan vein zachen the gadol, but you're not allowed to do zechiah for a gadol. In other words, by a gadol, if you want to give the gadol money, you have to give him money. You can't give the money to a third person and then have the gadol be zoche in that item. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Yishuv Amar, no. Lekatan amru kal v'chomer legadol. If you're allowed to be zoche, if you're allowed to be mezakeh to a katan who ordinarily is not capable of being kone things for himself, then certainly you're allowed to be mezakeh to a gadol who is capable of being kone things to himself. In other words, if you're going to allow to happen indirectly or unusually through an unusual means what the person can't do through the usual means, then you're certainly going to permit to occur through the unusual means when the person can make it happen through the usual means. So that's the same machlokas that we have seen in our Mishnah. Just the Rashbam over here says on the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua Amar Lekatan Amru Mishem Zachin Lo Shelo Bafanav Akolshkein Legadol Sheyesh Lo Yad Lekabel Veliskos Ulishliach Nami Matzi Mashvi Vehilkach Kolshkein Zachin Adam Shelo Bafanav. Therefore, certainly by a Gadol, we apply the principle of Zachan Adam Shelo Bafanav. The Rashbam here makes it seem that Zechiah works mitam shlichus. It works because the Gadol is appointing the person who's accepting the item for him almost as his shliach, and since a Gadol obviously can make a shliach, therefore this concept of Zechiah works by a Gadol. So says the Gemara. Okay, so masnisim money. Who's our Mishnah going like? Rav Yehuda. Our Mishnah is like Rav Yehuda. Why? The Tanya, because we see in a Braisa. Rav Meir Omer, Rav Eliezer Omer. Rav Meir says the Mishnah is like this. Rav Meir learns it like this, that Rav Eliezer Omer, Bechol Dvarav Kayamin. During the weekday, the Shechiv Meira can give over Nechasim verbally, B'mnei Sheyachal Lichtov, because the Shechiv Meira is able to write a shtar. Avalo b'Shabbos, but on Shabbos the Shechiv Meira is not allowed to give his gift over verbally. Now this is of course directly against what we said in the Mishnah, because in the Mishnah we said that Rabbi Eliezer says that the Matna Shechiv Meira works verbally only on Shabbos where he can't otherwise make a kinyan. And Rabbi Yeshua, now Rabbi Meir learns up Rabbi Yeshua like this, Omer b'chol amru v'kal v'chomer l'Shabbos, that if they said that the Matna Shechiv Meira works even bal peh, even orally during the week, certainly they would say that it works orally on Shabbos. Kayotzi bo, and similarly, zachen legadol ve'ein zachen lekatan, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Again, this is the opposite of what we have in our Mishnah, because in this Braisa we're saying that Rabbi Eliezer says that Zechiah works only by a gadol and not by a katan. Rabbi Yeshua Omer begadol amru kal v'chomer lekatan. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that Zechiah works by a gadol and kal v'chomer works by a katan. So effectively, in this version of the Mishnah that's quoted in this Braisa, we have everything transposed. We have everything that's exactly the opposite of what it really is. So just on this concept of Zechiah Lekatan, Tosfa says over here on the bottom of Kufnan Vamam Abayz, where the Tosfas is printed, that Zachin Legadol Vein Zachin Lekatan in the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that's brought down by Rabbi Meir, that it's possible I might think that there's a concept of Zechiah that works for a Gadol but not for a Katan. Why can I not be zocha to a katan? We know that zachan alam shalabafanav, that I can do a zechiah, I can make a zechiah for somebody even outside that person's presence. So if the person doesn't have to be there at all, what does it matter whether the person is a gadol or a katan? This is what Tosfos is sort of drills down on what the Rashbam had alluded to that we brought out a moment ago, that since zechiah works mitam shlichus, man dematvi mashvi shliach yesh lo zechiah, uman delo matvi shliach ein lo zechiah, that somebody who's capable of appointing a shliach is able to be zoche, somebody who's not capable of appointing a shliach has no din of zechiah. Uman de islei zachah v'katan vein zachah v'gadol. Now, how about the shita of Rebbe Eliezer in our Mishnah, that you're able to be zoche for a katan, but you're not able to be zoche for a gadol? Sfirulek, even the gadol yachal liknos lo tikkun le'rabana zechiah kama b'katan. So the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, as we saw in the Mishnah, is that there's no need to be gozer, there's no need to be metakein the idea, the concept of zechiah for a gadol, because the gadol could just be kona directly. So therefore, we only apply zechiah, which is unusual, in the situation where it's needed, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Came along Rabbi Yeshua, of course, and said, no, if the unusual way of doing something is going to work when the usual way is not an option, certainly the unusual way will work when the usual way is an option, because it shows that there's a greater koach to be kona things. Okay, now going back in the Gemara, Kufnan Zayin Amud Aleph, four lines down from the bottom. So now we're about to prove that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Eliezer says b'Shabbos dvarav kayamin, that on Shabbos the Shemira can give over his nechasim verbally, mimneisha ein yocholichto, because he's not able to write. You're not able to perform a kinyan on Shabbos. Aval lo b'chol, but it doesn't work during the week, because during the week, just go ahead and make a kinyan. Rabbi Yeshua Omer b'Shabbos amru kal v'chomer b'chol. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that if the Shechem Meira is able to give over his nechasim verbally on Shabbos, kal v'chomer is allowed to give it over verbally during the week. Kayotze bo, and similarly, zochen l'katam vein zochen l'gadol divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that we're zocha for a katam and not for a gadol, because we only permit zechiyah to work when a usual means of a kinyan won't work. But Rabbi Yeshua Omer l'katan amru kal v'chomer l'gadol. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that if zechiyah works for a katan when he can't make a normal kinyan, certainly zechiyah works for a gadol when he can make a normal kinyan. So over here, then, this version of the brisa is exactly like we have in our Mishnah. Therefore, our Mishnah is obviously going like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now starts the more complicated part of the daf. So says the Mishnah, Nafal abayis alav v'al aviv, if a house falls on a man and a person and his father, o alav v'al morishav, or on a person and on anybody else who that person would inherit from, like his brother or like his father's brother, says the Rashbam. And also the Mefarshim explain that this fact pattern of the Mishnah applies not only where a house falls on two people, but anytime two people die pretty much simultaneously, but we think maybe they died in a certain sequence, and it's impossible to ascertain the sequence in which they died. So, good. So you have, the Rashbam uses the example, Reuven and Yaakov, right? So you have Reuven and his father Yaakov who are in a house. House falls down, both of them are dead. We don't know who died first. V'haysa lov ksubas isha ubal chov. And Reuven owed his wife a ksuba, or he had a bal chov, or he owed someone money. So now, what happens? And also, the Reuven, the son, doesn't have any money of his own to pay back the wife, to pay the ksuba, nor does he have any money to pay the bal chov. So what happens here? So Yarshei Av Omrim, so the Yarshim of the father say, in other words, Reuven's brothers, who are also Yoresh Yaakov, their father, say, Haben Meis Rishon, Reuven died first, the Achar Kach Meis Ha'av, and after that, the father died. Now, what's the impact of that? The impact of that is that if Reuven died first, then Reuven never inherited any property from Yaakov that would have to go to pay the ksuba or the Baal Echov, and therefore Reuven died first. He was Yoresh, he was Morish to Yaakov. He, of course, had nothing to be Morish to Yaakov. But once Yaakov died, basically Reuven's out of the picture. So then Reuven, you can't get an inheritance in the Keber. We're talking where Reuven didn't have any sons or anything to step into his shoes, also the Mefarshim explain. So Reuven's out of the picture. So Yaakov's Nechasim are going to go ratably to his other kids, but not to Reuven. And therefore, there's no way that any of the inheritance that Yaakov gives over should go to pay the ksuba of the woman or the Baal Chov. So that's what the Yarshei Av say. Ubalei Achov Omrim, and the Balei Chov say no. Ha'av Meis Rishon, that the father died first. V'achar Kach Meis HaBen, and after that the son died. So in other words, by the father dying first, Reuven got his share of the Yerusha from Yaakov. Now Reuven has some nechasim to pay back the Ksubas Isha or the Baal Echov. Then Reuven died, and therefore we should get paid back a portion of Yaakov's nechasim, say the Baal Chov or the woman. The Rashbam explains that when the Baal Chov says that Ha'av Meis Rishon, it's not a Tainas Vadai that the father died first, because again, we're talking about where they died in a building collapse and nobody knows who died first, but what they mean is that it's possible that the father died first, and therefore we are owed, and therefore there is some asset with which to pay us back. So what happens in this case? They have conflicting tainus. We don't exactly know what happened. So Beis Shammai Omrim Yachloku. So Beis Shammai says that they have to divide in the Chasim. And what's their Shita? So says the Rashbam, Ked Mefarish Taima B'Yavamos B'Acholeis, like we explain in Mesechus Yavamos, the Afalgav L'Yershi Av Vada Yershin, even though the Yershi Av have a Tainas Vadai, B'Hai Mamon, because the Yershi Av are going to be Yoresh, even if the father died first, they're still going to get a share of the Yerusha. The only question is, does Reuven also get a share of the Yerusha? So the Yershei Av are coming with a Tainas Vadai. No matter who died first, they're getting something. Ubalchov Safek, and the Balchov is only coming with a Tainas Safek. And why is the Balchov coming with a Tainas Safek? Because if the father died first, then the son inherits, and therefore the Balchov gets something. If the son died first, and then the father died, then the Baal Chov doesn't get anything because the son never inherited. So the Yarshim are coming with a Tainas Vadai, the Baal Chov is coming with a Tainas Safek, and we're saying Yachloku has that, because the Safek Amotzi Midei Vadai, and the Safek is coming and is taking from the hands of the Vadai, because we're saying Yachloku. So Kazavri Beis Shammai, Shtara Omid Ligvos is Kegavu Dami Vetarvayu Vadai Chashivi. So explains the Rashbam, based on the Gemara and Yavambas, this is not a case of Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, because the Baal Chov is coming to collect with a shtar, and since the Baal Chov is coming to collect with a shtar, Shtara Omid Ligvos is Kegavu Dami. So it says, if he has a Tainas Vadai also in the asset, so it's a Vadai and a Vadai as opposed to a Safek and a Vadai. Okay. So that's the Shita of Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel says, no, the Nechasim stay in their Chazaka. What does that mean? Says the Rashbam. Becheskas Yarshei Av. They stay in the Chazaka of the Yarshei Av and the other people who inherit the father. Why? Because as we just explained, the Rashbam goes on to explain, because the Yarshei Av have a Tainas Vadai, the Balchov only has a Tainas Safek, because we don't say this thing of Kolom Eligvos is Kugavi Dami. Ain Safek, Motzi Midei Vadai, and therefore the Nechasim are going to stay with the Yershim of the father. Okay. So says the Gemara, Hamalves Chavero Bishtar, if a person loans money to his friend with a shtar, Gove Menechasim Mishubadim, then you're Gove Menechasim Mishubadim. So what are we talking about here? So let's look at the Rashbam again. So you're Gove Menechasim Mishubadim, in other words, from karka that you've sold to someone else already. So says the Rashbam, Afilu lo nichtav bo achrayis, even if achrayis is not written into the shtar, govem nechasim mishabadim, you could still be govem from nechasim mishabadim in ein lelov and nechasim bnei choren. Now the only time you're allowed to go to people who purchase karka from the lova and collect from them is where the lova doesn't have any karka lying around. If the lova has karka lying around, obviously he has to give up from his own karka before he directs the malva to go to his lokeach to collect the karka. But the fact that you're allowed to be gover from Nechasim Mishabadim is the truth, is the case, even if Achrayis is not written into the shtar. So even if Achrayis is not expressed in the shtar, so b'nei gover malvem in alakuchos, damar b'shnayim ochzin, l'rabbanon Achrayis l'anichta b'shtar tosofer. Why? Because Achrayis is tosofer. In other words, Achrayis is always assumed to apply, and therefore if it's not there, then it's a tosofer. K'misha nichta b'dami, and it's as if Achrayis is written into the shtar, d'loshodi inizuzi b'chti, because a malve is not going to give up his nechasim, his money freely. And if we didn't say that Achrayis is Tos Sofer, then the Lova could borrow money, the Lova could then go sell his karkos, and basically make himself judgment-proof, because he doesn't have any money to pay back the loan, and the Malva is never going to get paid back. And therefore, definitely the Malva intended that Achrayis be written in the shtar, but the Sofer forgot. And he made a mistake. Now, why does the shtar work if Achrayis is not in the shtar? Why? Because any shtar, any stam shtar has a kol. And the lekuchos were mafsed on themselves. In other words, if they bought karka after the shtar already went out that the lova borrowed from the malva, in other words, it can't be karka that the lova owned and sold previous to the chov, because otherwise, then they were not on notice at all. But if the lokeach bought karka from the lova after the chov, so the very fact of the shtar has a kol, and they brought the loss on themselves. Okay, because they bought all the karka, they didn't leave any free karka in the hands of the lova with which to pay back his chov. Good, so that's Malves chavero b'shtar gove menachosim eshabadim al yidei edim. If, however, the alva is al yidei edim gove menachosim menechorin, then he can only collect from nechosim menechorin. In other words, the malve can only collect from nechosim that the lova has in his property, but not from nechosim that the lova went and sold. So boy Shmuel, so esh Shmuel lakasha, and this is the focal point for the rest of the daf. So the ikni v'kana mahu. What if he uses a formulation that he's encumbering not only property that he owns today, but property that comes into his possession after the fact? This is what's known as after acquired property. All right, so, and if you look in the Rashbam, Boy Shmuel, a couple of lines up from where the lines in the Rashbam go to medium size. Zakosiv lechaveru meshabedan ilach bechovcha kol nechasim sheekne. Any nechasim that I ultimately acquire, mahu v'hainu shekosvim b'shtaros dekani v'da'asid anol amikne. That's the phraseology that we write in shtaros that I have acquired and that I am destined to acquire. What is the halacha? Can I encumber property that I don't yet own? So says the Gemara like this. According to Rav Meir, who says that I could be makne something that has not yet come into existence. It's not a kasha. Certainly I can encumber property that I don't yet own. If I can make a kinyan on property that I don't yet have, certainly I can encumber property. Certainly I can make a shibud on property that I don't yet own. When is this question applicable? It's only applicable according to the Rabbanan. Da amri ein adam makne davar shelo baliyolam. Who say, the Rabbanan ordinarily say, that ein adam makne davar shelo baliyolam. Even though I can't make a kinyan on a davar shelo baliyolam, maybe I can encumber property shelo baliyolam. Why? So the Rashbam gives two reasons. Reason number one is because this is not really a davar shelo baliyolam. When we talk about davar shelo baliyolam, the classic case is you say to a woman, I want you to become mekudeshes to me after I am mezgayer, or after you're mezgayer, or you're trying to be makne something to a kid who doesn't yet exist, who's not yet born. That's a real davar shelo baliyolam. This karka is not a davar shelo baliyolam. The all karka that's in the world is already here. The question is, does he own it? So he doesn't own it yet. It's not really a classic davar shelo baliyolam, and therefore maybe he should be able to encumber it. That's one view brought down by the Rashbam. The second view is maybe we're willing to be a little bit more lax here in the criteria for making a shibud or a kinyan on a davar shelo baliyolam in this situation. Why? Shelo tinol deles bifnei lovin. Because we're afraid that if we don't permit the person to encumber his property, nobody's going to loan money to him, because the malvet will want assurance that he's able to go and collect from any karka that the lova has, whether he owns it now or whether it's after acquired property. And so maybe there are a couple of reasons why, even according to the Chachamim, who ordinarily say that ain adam makna davar shelo b'liyolam, maybe over here you could be meshabed a davar, a karka that you don't own yet. So that's the basic question in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Tashma, let me bring a raya. The Chachamim omrim, and the Chachamim say, Ze haya pikeach shem mocher lo karka. That this malveh is a pikeach because he sold him karka, mimneshehu yachol lamashkano alav. Because then he could take it as a mashkon. So what are we talking about over here? So the Rashbam clues us in. So on the last medium-sized line, Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, Detan beperek shnei dine gzeros b'ksubas, we have him meseches ksubas, hamotzi shtar chova chalvera v'alo, zishtar shakosobo shemachalo asasade, malve lelove. The love owes the malve money, and then the malve went ahead and sold a piece of property to the love. After the debt was incurred, shu motzi alav admon omer yochel alove liton ilu chayev ayisa yachayev ayisi lecha lo hayal lecha lefroa eshelcha mimeni lo hayal lecha limkar li karka b'shvil tzorech mos. Admon says if they have a shtar chov and then there's a shtar that says that the malva sold property to the love, Admon says no, we're not going to believe that shtar, because if I owed you money, says Admon, the Lova could say, if I owed you money, there's no way that you would then go sell me karka, because why? I already owe you money. Why are you going to sell me karka now? But the Chachamim say, no, just the opposite. Because now the Malva could go collect that karka as a mashkon for the chov that the Lova owes him. And the Lova can no longer say, oh, I don't have anything to pay you back with, because we know now that he has karka. Vine zea karka de ikni have. And this karka is karka de ikni. It's karka that he's kone after the fact. Shela achar shenichta vashtar chov. Kano alovez man maruba, because the Love bought this property from the Malve long after he borrowed the money, long after the Sharchov went out. Vine ze Malve chozer vegove bechovo alma de ikni vekani mishtabe la Malve. Yet the Malve can sell the karka to the Love and then collect the karka back. In other words, he could be paid for the karka, and then he could collect the karka back as a mashkon for the pre-existing chov. So obviously we see, says Rav Yosef, obviously we see that when you are meshabed nechosim to the malveh, you're meshabed not only karka that you own at the time of the halva, but even karka that you acquire after the time of the halva. So amar le rava, minei kamar. You're talking about collecting property from the love. So minei afilu meglimid al kaspe. Minei, from the love you could collect even from the coat on his back, even from the shirt off his back. In other words, your power of collecting, the whole point of achrayas, what's achrayas, the whole point of nechasim mishabonim versus bnei chorin, is whether the malve is able to go to a lokeach, to a guy who bought karka from a love, and say, sorry, Charlie, this is really mine, because I had loaned money to the love, and you should have known when you bought from him that you were buying subject to any claim that I have on the love and his assets. That's when the whole discussion of achrayas comes into play. But to collect from the Lova, of course you could collect after acquired property from the Lova himself, says Rava. Mineya filu miglima dal kasve ki kami baylan de ikni kana umachar de ikni kana vahorish mai. My whole question is, let's say that he came in, that the Lova acquired karka after the halva, and then sold that karka to somebody else, or was then morish that karka to somebody else. Can the malva then collect from the yoresh or from the lokeach? That's what I'm asking. In other words, achrayas, does that relate only to property that the lova owned at the time of the alva and then sold to a third party lokeach? Or does it apply to property even that came into the lova's rishos after the alva that he subsequently sold? That's my shaila. So I'm Rav Chana Tashmas, or Rav Chana now tries to bring a raya. So let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Nafal abayis alav v'al aviv. So the house fell on him and on his father, on Reuven and Yaakov, alav al marisha, v'ayso alav ksuba sisha balchov. And Reuven owed money for a ksuba or a balchov, and he didn't have anything to pay. Yarshe av omrim, the yarshim of the father say, aben meis rishon, and therefore the balchov doesn't deserve anything. V'achachach meis av, u'balechovos omrim, and the balechov say, av meis rishon, that the father died first, and therefore the son inherits from the father, and therefore we can collect. Now, the isal kadaitach, the ikne kana umachar, the ikne kana vahorish, and if you want to say that shibud works even for after acquired property, if you wanted to say isal kadaitach, the ikne kana umachar, the ikne kana vahorish, lo mishtavid, and if you want to say that the shibud does not work for after acquired property, nehi nami da av meis beresha, even if the father died first, what taina would the balchov have against the property that Reuven inherits from Yaakov? If you're only meshabed property that you own at the time of the halva, Reuven didn't own this property at the time of the halva, so there's no way that the balchov would be able to collect, even if Yaakov died first and then was morish to Reuven, that's not property that's eligible for the balchov to collect from. So says the Gemara, Ninami da'av meis beresha diknihu, it's the ikni, so it shouldn't be meshubad. Zarmalu Rav Nachman, Zira Chavrin Tirgama, Zira Chavrin explains, mitzvah le'yisomim lefroach ova saviyem. You're right. It wouldn't work me'ikar adin. In other words, it's not that the balechov have a real taina, that the balechov have a real taina on the as to these nechasim. It's that just megzera derabanan, we say that it's a mitzvah on the Yisomim to pay back the balichov. As the Rashbam explains, four lines up from the bottom. Velo mishum shekosalo de ikneu. It's not because he wrote in the shtar de ikne at all. The gabe kano machar lo mishtabed. And honestly, had he acquired property and then sold the property to somebody else, that type of property would never have been mishubet to a balichov. Ela gabe yarshim mishum mitzvah. However, by Reuven's yarshim, they still have a mitzvah to pay back the balichov. Why? Because it's a mitzvah lefroa balichov. Afilu This has nothing to do with achrayas and written in a shtar or whatever, or shibud. It has to do with, is there a mitzvah to pay back the balei chov? Okay, so it says the Gemara maskef la Ravashi milva al pehu. Well, in that case, it's a milva al peh, because there's no shtar, and we said that the only time you collect from the chasim mishabadim is when you have a shtar. Here you don't have a shtar, so why are you collecting from the Yisomim at all? So Varav Vishmul, Damri Tavayu, Milval Pe, Inagovilomina Yershim Veloman al Kuchos. And we say, Rav and Shmuel both say that a Milval Pe is not collected from Yershim or from Lakuchos. So I don't know why you think that the Yisomim would have to pay at all. The Rashbam points out that La Halacha, we actually paskin that by a Milval Pe, you are Govim and a Yershim, even though you're not Govim and a Lakuchos, you are Govim and a Yershim, Shlo Timon Delos from Delavin, because if you're not able to collect from anybody, then nobody's going to loan him money. Okay, so flipping over to Kufnan Zayin Amabez, El Amani Rav Meir He. So maybe our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. So Da'amar Adamakna Davar Shalabal Yolam, because Rav Meir had said that you're able to be Makna Davar Shalabal Yolam, and you'll recall in the beginning of the Gemara we had said our suffix is only in the Sheet of the Chachamim. So, but according to Rav Meir, we know De'ikni Kane. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, two lines down. Amar Rav Yaakov Min Arpkod Mishmei Ravina Tashma, another Raya. Shtore Chov Hamagdamim Sulem. A Shtar Chov which is predated is... Puzzle. Vamucharing Sharon. And a star chov which is mu'uchar is kosher. Okay. So why is a predated chov, why is a predated star a puzzle? So a predated star is if I loan someone money in Nisan, but I write that I made the loan in the prior Tishrei. So that's a problem, because if we have a Shtar Chov that says that I loaned the money in Tishrei, but I didn't really loan it until Nisan, then any property that the Loveh sold between Tishrei and Nisan, I'm going to claim from the Lokeach, hey, you knew that I had the Alva out, and therefore I'm able to collect from you. But really, that's not appropriate, because I didn't really extend the loan until Nisan. That's why a Shtar Chov Muktam is going to be possible. But Me'uchar is where I loaned the money in Tishrei, but I didn't write the shtar, or I wrote the shtar right away, but I post-dated the shtar to Nisan. And why is that fine? That's fine, because all I'm doing is I'm giving up, as the Malveh, the ability to collect from anybody who bought property from the Loveh between Tishrei and Nisan. So that's the halacha. Mukdamin is psulin, mucharin is sheirin. Now, v'sal kadaitach dikni kana machar, dikni kana vahorish, lo mishtabed. But if you want to say that after acquired property is not mishtabed, then mucharin amaik sheirin, then why would a shtar mu'uchar be kosher? The ikniu, because it's considered to be a case of the ikni. So what's the kasha? So the Rashbam explains, kishalava benisan, about halfway down, when he borrows money in Nisan, v'nichta betishrei, v'alo shema konaze elu nechasim bein Nisan letishrei, maybe these nechasim, which you're now trying to collect from, he was kone between Nisan and Tishrei, v'lo ishtabdu l'malve, and they're not mishtabe, da de ikniu, because the point that is critical by v'ikni is at the shas halva. V'atorif yavolitrof mitishrei ve'elech shelo kedin min alakucha shekanu min alov v'nechasim aknuyin lo minisan v'atishrei. Elash mamina dikni mishtabed vilkach mucharin ksheirin delekel ameichash lahachi. In other words, the only way a post-dated shtar would be kosher is if we don't care about the date of the halva from the perspective of which properties are going to be encumbered. Because if we did care, then you should require the date to be just the date. There's a danger also to making the date too late. So says the Gemara, Hamani Rameir, again, this is the Shita Rameir, Damar Adam Makna Davar Shalaba Liolam, and our suffix was only in the Shita of the Chachamim. So Amar Rav Misharsha Mishmei Derava, Tashma. Zer Misharsha, the Rei D'Rava, now brings another raya. L'shevach karkos ketzad. So what are we talking about when we say l'shevach? What are we talking about when we say l'shevach karkos? So l'shevach karkos is in Maseches Gittin. We say that emotzi'en lachilos peros u'l'shevach karkos u'lamozon ha'ishav abanos minachasim mishubadim. That you're not able to collect the value of shevach that you were a mashpiach karka from the chashim mishabadim. So what's the case? Haresha machar sadal chaveru. A guy sells a field to his friend, vishbicha, and his friend is mashbiach the field. He does what a person who owns a field does. He plants it, he improves it. Uba balchov etarfa. Now, the balchov of the seller comes and collects from the buyer. So the question is, what happens now to the buyer, and can he collect the shevach that he was mashbiach the field from the seller? So k'shu goves akerem minachasim mishabadim. When he goes to collect the money that he paid for the field from the seller, he collects the keren from nechasim mishabadim. Veshevach minachasim minechorin, and he collects the shevach from nechasim minechorin. Now says the Gemara, v'sal kataitach deikni kano machar deikni kano v'horish lo mishtabed. And if you want to say that the only thing that's encumbered to the malveh is what the loveh owns at the time of the halva, balchov amai gove shivcha. So why are we talking about how the lokeach is reimbursed for the shevach? Why does the malveh ever have a claim to the shevach? He should only have a claim to what the loveh owned at the time. And at the time, the loveh only owned a karka, which was not improved. He did not own an improved piece of karka. Says the Gemara again, Hamani Rameiri Damar Adam Makne Davar Shlo B'Yolam. I told you that's the Shita of Rameiri who says that Adam Makne Davar Shlo B'Yolam, and our kasha is only according to the Chachamim. Say Imtim Salomar Dikni Kano Machar Dikni Kano Vahorish Lo Mishtabed. If you want to say that after acquired property is not subject to shibud, Holo Mishtabed, then it's not Mishtabed. Say Imtim Salomar Mishtabed. But if you want to say that after acquired property is subject to shibud, then the kasha is like this. Lava v'lava v'chazer v'kana. Let's say he borrowed twice, and then he was kona karka. So mahu. So which of the malves are going to have a shibud on the karka? L'kama mishabed o l'basra mishabed. Is he mishabed the karka to the first malve or to the second malve? So Amar Rav Nachman hamilsa iboylon. We asked this kasha v'sholchum isam and v'sholchum itam, and already they sent back to us rishon kana, that the first malve is going to be kona this after acquired property. Ravuna amar yachloku. Ravuna says no, they divide. V'chein tani rava baravua yachloku, and so too, Rava Baravua says, Yachloku, because when you borrow twice, you don't intend that only the first guy take a shibud on the after-acquired property. The after-acquired property is after-acquired both from the perspective of the first halva and the second halva, and therefore they have to divide it. So Amar Ravina, Madura Kama, in my first round of learning, in my first round through the Gemara de Ravashi, Amarlan Rishon Kana, he said that the first one is Kona, Madura Basra de Ravashi, Amarlan Yachloku. And the second round of learning through Shas, he said Yachloku. Vilkasa Yachloku, and the Halacha is Yachloku. What's Madura Kama, Madura Basra? So the Rashbam explains that Ravashi lived for 60 years, and the Mefarshim explained it doesn't mean lived for 60 years, it means he taught for 60 years. And the minhag would be that in addition to whatever they were teaching in Shir twice a year, during the Yarche Kala, during the Kala period before Sukkot and before Pesach, they would, during the Yarche Kala, what they would do is they would learn two Masechtas, one during each Kala period. 60 Masechtas and Shas, they would cover Shas over a period of 30 years. So the first time he taught the Kala was the Madura Kama. The second time he taught the Kala was Madura Basra. Quickly to finish up, Meisvei, the Shevach Harkos, Ketzad. So what's the story with Shevach Harkos? Harei Shemachar Sadeh L'chaveiro. If a person sells a field to his friend, Vishbicho, Babalchov, Vitarfa, and then about, and then these Mashbiach, the Karka, and then a Balchov comes and collects from the Karka, Kishu Gove, Gove, Sakara, Menechasim, Mishabadim, Vesashevach, Menechasim, Menechorim, Vim Isa, and if it is the true, and if it's the case that by Love, Love, Vikane, Yachloku, so Vim Isa, Chati Shevach, Mi Boile, and if it's the case that Love, the Din is Yachloku, so why is the buyer allowed to collect the whole Shevach, the buyer? buyer should have to split the shevach with the malveh because it's meshubah to everybody. So my govenami dektani chatzi shevach. So says the Gemara in a chanami. You're right that what we mean when we say that the lokeach is collects the shevach, it means he collects only half the shevach. So just to conclude, most Rishonim hold that this idea of yachloku is only by shevach al yedei otzos. It's only by shevach that come through expenditures that the lokeach makes. But shevach that comes just by virtue of growth on the field, that all goes to the malveh. The lokeach is not entitled to any of that type of shevach. We'll pick up from the next Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow.